Hello, everyone. This is Coach Fab, the voice of Casinos USA. And welcome to our October 25th podcast, episode number 51, Electronic Crack. We're coming to you today from beautiful Western Pennsylvania, enjoying the fall weather here. Well, anyway, let's get started with Electronic Crack. And there's a warning in this for almost all of us. But first, I want to thank our digital audience for keeping the studio so clean. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, let's get started with Electronic Crack. Over the last few years, America's casinos, all 1,400 of them, you know, in addition to the tribal casinos, have a yearly average of 100 million visitors when you total them all up. 100 million visitors. And according to the gambling industry itself, nearly half of those visitors were age 50 or older. And you can see it. In the afternoons, casinos are filled with boomers. This is a place where senior citizens feel they can socialize, and many are escaping loneliness or grief from the loss of a spouse or other family members. And of course, it's much easier to get to a casino today if you live outside of Las Vegas or New Jersey. In fact, it's never been easier. And also remember, since 1988, when the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act legalized casino development on Indian lands, that legislation sparked a loosening of state prohibitions on gambling. And let's face it, since 1988, there's really been a casino building boom. And those 1,400 casinos that I mentioned are spread across 40 states. And remember, states with large populations of adults over 65 include Florida, Pennsylvania, New York, Michigan, Ohio, Massachusetts, and West Virginia. And all of those states have expanded casino gambling, let's be honest, in recent years. Oh, my. A study by David Auslin, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania Medical Center, which is in Philadelphia, 1 in 11 adults over the age of 65 bet more than they can afford to lose. The study suggests that more than 4 million older Americans have a gambling problem. That's a high rate. 4 million senior citizens have a gambling problem. So I hope this explains why I rant about being a low roller. I say be a low roller or don't gamble at all. And I have a sense of responsibility to say that because of our gambling podcast. Remember that it's the formula of your anticipated losses that creates the comps that you get. Let me give you an analogy that might help you appreciate what we're all up against. Casinos create thin ice for gamblers because of the house edge that's inherent in slot machines and table games. Thin ice. And you might walk across it one day or 2 days or a few days, and you're okay. But many days you're going to fall through, and I mean you're going to fall through and lose money because you're fighting house odds, which creates this thin ice. So the longer you gamble, the more likely it is that you'll lose. The more you walk on thin ice, the more likely it is that you'll fall through. And that's why I talk about hit and run at a table game or at a slot machine. And you know, in thinking about this, you know, being a Notre Dame grad, I follow the Fighting Irish football as a sort of a religion. And that play like a champion sign that they touch, that's a competitive thing. And you know, it's dangerous to be competitive in a casino in this sense, because if you have a competitive personality, it's likely that you won't surrender, you won't quit, you won't walk away. You'll surpass your loss limit if you even have one, because you'll say, hey, you know, I'm just having bad luck. If I keep playing or if I keep betting more money, you know, what we call that, chasing your losses, I'll get it all back. I'll get it all back. And there's story after story of people who just get into great debt, particularly with slot machines, you know, borrowing money against their home, borrowing money on credit cards, thinking that I'll just have a big hit and I'll get it all back. I'll get it all back. But sadly, getting it all back seldom occurs because you're walking and playing slots and table games, and you're standing on thin ice. So here we go again. This is why I feel such a responsibility to encourage people to become low rollers. You know, no pie-in-the-sky dreams, but low rollers. And I'm not saying you don't play a progressive slot machine once in a while, or you make an odds against you kind of bet, strong odds against you once in a while. But I'm telling you that you have a sensible loss limit, and you'll walk away to survive and come back another day. You just won't be crazy. You know, again, casino gambling is a recreational activity. If you want to make investments with discretionary income, don't make it at a casino, because those aren't investments. I'm not discouraging anyone from gambling. I'm just reminding all of us, myself included, that you need a sense of responsibility with your money when you walk into a casino that's created all that thin ice. And let's admit it, there are days we all fall through. So we don't win all the time, that's what I'm saying. So just keep it in check, and I'll feel a whole lot better about presenting a gambling podcast for your enjoyment. But those flashing lights from all the slots in the casino and all that cheering and noise and those bells and whistles, they can become, if you're not careful, electronic crack. So addictive. So just use good judgment always with your money in a casino. And that goes for me too. All right. We're going to go into part two, and we'll be talking about the seven largest gaming companies in America. And after a short break, and while we're gone, see if you can guess what the top three might be. Okay, short break, and we're right back. Well, I hope you guessed correctly about naming the number one gaming company in the United States, if not the world. I would have missed this. It's the Las Vegas Sands Corporation. And of course, you all know the Palazzo Las Vegas and the Venetian. And of course, they have the large one in Bethlehem Sands Casino Resort, Pennsylvania. All right. But they have such a strong global presence, particularly in Asia. Their annual revenue, year in and year out, is around $15 billion, that's B, dollars. In second place is the one I would have named first. It's the MGM Resorts International, and we know them probably better with that card in our wallet, M Life, right? And they own casinos up and down the Las Vegas Strip. But some of their flagship properties in Vegas, of course, would be the Bellagio and the Mirage. I talk a little bit about the MGM National Harbor. They also have a new casino, MGM Springfield, that they're working on. And they just keep growing and growing and spreading and spreading. MGM Resorts International. But they make about half of $15 billion, you know, annually. So they clearly are in second place. The third place is Caesars Entertainment. And we know that by the Total Rewards card. And they also have a number of iconic properties around the United States. I think we all know that Harrah's brand, and of course the Horseshoe Casinos. They have a large global presence as well, and they make a little bit less than MGM Life, but you know, they're in that $8 billion range as well. Those are the top three. And most of us are familiar with M Life and Total Rewards, number two and number three, respectively. Both of these companies, in my opinion, comp fairly, and they comp well. We're starting our Las Vegas November vacation, Thanksgiving week on Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday through Total Rewards, we'll be staying for free at Bally's. We love the location on the Strip. We like the fact that we can go easily out the side door down Flamingo to Koval Lane to Alice Island to take advantage of their hot slots and also their wonderful food deals. Janie's talked about that many times, particularly last episode if you were listening to us. And M Life, we're staying at the Luxor. not in the pyramid this time, but we're treated to a comped room in one of the towers. It's an elite tower room with a wet bar, refrigerator, close to an elevator, all those kinds of things. So I have nothing but good things to say about M Life and Total Rewards. Now, you're probably going to join with me and say, well, they got a little greedy charging for parking. And at least with M Life, there's a way around it. You know, you can get an M Life credit card. And I did consider that. But I decided, you know what, I'm not going to add to my credit card list. I'm protecting a high FICO score. And that can damage you a little bit. It's more important to me to maintain that high FICO score than it is to carry around an M Life credit card. And you know what, if I, and I know we'll rent a car, we'll just pay for parking and live with it. All right, so those are the 10-3. Las Vegas Sands, the M Life, and Caesars Entertainment, which we call Total Rewards. So what comes next? Well, with the Las Vegas Sands, you know, you probably know the name. The chairman is Sheldon Adelson. I'm sure you know that name if you're involved with enjoying casinos. And the next one, you know the name of Steve Wynn. And of course, Wynn Resorts still exists. Steve Wynn has been pushed aside. And, you know, I think that's just public information. We don't need to repeat that issue. But Wynn Resorts is listed as the number fourth gaming company in terms of size and revenue in the United States. And we're, again, they also have a global presence. But of course, the Wynn and the Encore in Las Vegas are beautiful hotels. We've stayed in the Encore suites before, and they're just sensational. You're treated there so well. The tables at night are a little expensive. During the day, you can get $15 tables. And slots are slots, in my opinion. But the Wynn and the Encore are all about very special treatment, sort of like the Bellagio is in the same manner. But that's a different gaming company, of course. All right, so 5, 6, and 7 are very close. You could even call it a tie, but they are separated. And they make about half again as the M Life and Total Rewards do. So we're talking about, you know, $2.5 billion. That's not a problem to have, is it? So in that range. And I'll put them in the order of that revenue, and we'll go from there. Boyd Gaming is number 5. You know, Boyd I know so well through years of our relationship at the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City, Indiana. And, of course, that's an exit past the Notre Dame exit on the Indiana Toll Road. So that's where we stay so often when we're visiting ND for football games or for whatever. But it's a beautiful casino. Boyd's, of course, in Sam's Town in Las Vegas and several other rather iconic names in Las Vegas. They have casinos all around the country. And they just purchased the Belterra, which is another one of our haunts in southern Indiana. And boy, we hope they continue to comp us the way the Pinnacle has over the years through Belterra. But Boyd Gaming is number 5. The story of Sam Boyd, I'm not going to tell today, but it's an interesting one. And there's always hope. You know, someday we'll get lucky enough to make it so big in Vegas that we can start a gaming company of our own. Penn National is number 6. And Penn National is often associated with horse racing, horse tracks. Many of their Hollywood casinos are involved with horse racing. And the one we visit most often is in Charlestown, West Virginia. Charlestown, West Virginia. And they own the Penn National, also owns the Tropicana in Las Vegas. And that's really helped us out because of our stays at Charlestown. And we gamble big there very often. We also get provided free rooms at the Tropicana, which we love. Boy, I tell you, if you haven't been to the Tropicana, you've got to stop in. I'm talking about the one in Las Vegas. The remodeling there, it has to be one of the cleanest, most bright casino hotel layouts on the Las Vegas Strip. Check it out, please. And then number 7 is Pinnacle. And as I mentioned, they just pulled out of the Belterra, that famous riverboat casino in southern Indiana. But we still deal with Pinnacle through our relationship with them through the Meadows. And again, we find them to comp very well. So Boyd Gaming 5, Penn National 6, and Pinnacle just behind Penn National by a few bucks, is number 7. And those are the top 7 companies that have casinos in the United States. But, you know, again, the majority of them also have a global presence. So I would tell you to learn about your casino companies, and, you know, you can sometimes say, hey, one comps you better than another, and maybe if they're, you know, not that far apart, the different casinos, then maybe you can lean on the ones that comp you a little better. We don't play it that way. We kind of go where we want to go, but we do have a relationship with all 7. Now, I want to tell you that we've gambled at the Venetian and the Palazzo, and we've also gambled at the Wynn and the Encore, but we've never been offered free rooms there. So I'm assuming it's a little more challenging to get free room comps. We get reduced rates. Don't let me mislead you. We get a lot of emails about the deals that we can have because, you know, we played there. But when M Life and Total Rewards give us free rooms, it's pretty hard to go back to the Wynn, the Encore, the Palazzo, or the Venetian, where we still have to pay. And that's just how we feel about it. If you didn't hear your particular gaming company mentioned in the top 7, hey, that's okay. We do really well with some smaller ones, and they comp us fine. You know, we talked about Golden Entertainment and Full House Gaming. Both of those are associated with casinos in our travels, and they treat us fine. So it doesn't have to be one of the top 7 to do a good job for you. But I do think you should investigate where you go and the gaming companies and sort of keep track of it, particularly if you enjoy the casino hobby the way we do. Just want to be in the know a little bit. Okay, I want to move on today to a Craps Talk segment, rather short one, but it's an important one. We just checked to see how our color-up video, Jeremy Ellerick's work, with our 3-2-1 Craps Play for Low Rollers. We call it 3-2-1. And it's now in the 20,000 viewers range. It's over 20,000 viewers. And, you know, barely more than a month has the video been available on YouTube. If you want to find it, just go to YouTube and in the search bar, type in 3-2-1 Craps, and you'll probably see it come up because it does come up. It's been hit that many times. But 3-2-1 with a dash between them, the number 3-2-1, not the words, and then just put Craps in a space and you have it. And it's a system of playing the pass line for low rollers. And we think it's a wonderful system for low rollers. And again, it's not guaranteeing that success, but even with a rather choppy table in Jeremy's video, 20 minutes, 21 minutes, he earned $54. And so if you kick it out to an hour, you know, $150, $160 in an hour, yeah, I'll take that every day, won't you? That's a wonderful part-time job. That's what I'm thinking. So the 3-2-1, check it out. I won't get into detail here today with Craps Talk with you, but check it out. I also want to say I have a proclivity not to play the same way always. If I go to a casino and there's only one $5 table open, and I look around the chip rails, I'd suggest there might be some sense in this for you too. And there's not many chips in the chip rails, and the faces of the players around the table seem rather glum, then I'll probably start out with a dark side strategy. And we'll be coming out and talking about some of our dark side strategies that we like to play. And my attitude sometimes is, well, I'll start on the dark side, you know, the don't pass side. And then if I get knocked off, I get knocked off and I'll jump to something else, you know, and I might jump to the 3-2-1, which is a common thing that I do. So be listening in Craps Talk in the upcoming podcast about starting from the don't pass line. And those of you who never play it, I've often used this comparison. Only playing the pass line is something akin to saying you play the piano, but you only play with one hand. I think to really understand craps, this is my personal feeling, you have to understand dark side betting, the don't pass thinking. And if you put them both together, sometimes you can jump back and forth, or you can be creative, you know, and play a hybrid system that involves Don't Pass with Pass Line, and we do some of that too.
Now let's go on to part three of the podcast, and we're going to talk about the Las Vegas Strip and things we can do there. And we've told you many times about our countless, oh, the kids are pumped today, our countless visits to the Las Vegas Strip. But why do we know so much about Las Vegas? Well, it's not just about our stays in Las Vegas, which, you know, 5-6 dozen over the years. But we have family members in Las Vegas, and that certainly gives us an edge podcast-wise over other podcasters who live outside of Nevada and claim to be experts on Las Vegas. Our grandson actually works at a hotel chain on the Strip every day, so he knows what's trending. And he's in his early 20s, so, you know, he's hip to what's going on that Strip. And our daughter has a professional position about 5 miles from the Strip, you know, a very nice job. And so we do have some insights into Las Vegas that maybe other podcasters don't have. And Jenny and I are going to just share some of those with you now in the final section of our podcast today. That's part three. And Janie's on her way. Here she is.
Hi, everyone. It's Jane. I just wanted to list maybe my 10 favorite things about going to Las Vegas. First, we always like to stay at more than one hotel casino, if possible. I would advise that because you get special rates for a couple days, 2 or 3 days at a time, and it's possible to do that. You can even take your luggage and walk to a couple different ones. We've done that. We've walked from the Encore over to Treasure Island. We've walked some other from Tropicana to, you know, over to the MGM. It can be done. And the reason we like to do that is you get to experience the entire hotel and casino that way, because you just spend more time there. You can go up and go to bed when you want to, sleep when you want to. As you know, Vegas doesn't close. It's open 24/7. So that's kind of a neat thing to do. And when you're from the east and you go out there, you're up early because you're running on Eastern time. So you have a lot of hours, it seems. And you get to know some of the staff even. We were checking in one time at the Old Frontier. We used to love to go there, and we happened to ask the desk personnel about a church, Catholic church, being there. And he said, oh, there's a great one right across the street over beside the Wynn called the Cathedral of the Guardian Angels. And he said, in fact, I'm an usher there. And then he said, and my wife is in the choir. So, you know, we got to talk to him, and we went over to their Easter Mass. And as we've described before, their Masses are like productions, musical productions. They have orchestra. They have beautiful singers. They have entertainers that entertain in shows on the Strip. So you get, as I said, if you don't stay at a couple different places, I don't think you get to experience everything about them, because they're so large usually. And, you know, exploring the hotel and using the amenities at the hotel is one thing. They mostly have spas. A lot of them have shopping venues, aside from all the restaurants. And then there's the casino. Check out the casino. You may be surprised. Slot machines are slot machines, but they seem to be a little looser there. It's an attraction just to go there. Okay, the second thing on the list is that you should, when you are at a casino, look and experience each one of them. You might want to go and stay at one of the casinos at one end, like the Tropicana or Mandalay Bay, and then stay at the Wynn or Encore at the other end of the Strip. And then in between, get to walk to all that Vegas has to offer on the Strip in between there. And as I said, experience the whole thing. Go sit at their sports book. See how that's run. See what entertainment they have at the casino. See if they have a lobby bar. a lot of them do. They had them for years, and then they seem to fade away, and now they're coming back again. But you can sit there and have a soft drink. You don't even have to have alcohol. But see the local bands, local singers. There's some entertainment there, and a lot of it goes through the night. Well, the third thing on my list, of course, would be food. You know, when you're going out there, you are just inundated with different restaurants. The casinos have restaurants. There's restaurants on the strip in between the casinos. There's restaurants on the side streets, which we like to go and explore, the side streets, you know, a block away from the strip. See those, go to those particular restaurants. We've mentioned many times Ellis Island. We still don't believe you can get as much food, as good of food, for the pricing that Ellis Island has. And that's right on Koval Lane, right behind Bally's. You can go out Bally's side door and walk down. Something you might want to see too, if you're out there and you've gone that far, is to go to Hoover Dam. I'm sorry. Hoosier. I'm partial.
Not the Indiana Hoosiers.
I know.
It's President Hoover.
I know.
Also called Boulder Dam by locals.
Well, right. It's called
Boulder. It's the same damn thing, I always say.
Right. Yeah. Get the pun there?
Yeah.
It's not that far of a drive. It's not even 40 minutes, maybe half hour. And there are different casinos along the way. You can also look at Lake Mead. I would advise to take the guided tour. It's a great tour. They had stopped the tours right after 9/11 because it's such a large facility that supplies water to that whole area. And so it was very well protected. But they have restarted the tours again, and they're really, really interesting. And it's worth seeing. They have built the new bridge, and it does, if you don't know, the bridge connects Arizona to Nevada. And Lake Mead is right there. You're crossing Lake Mead.
Yeah, and actually it's the dam that holds back the Colorado River.
So. Right, it's the Colorado River. And you can actually, on Lake Mead, you can rent boats, all different types of boats, and I believe most of the year round. I'm not positive about that. But that's worth a trip to see. And if you do feel like even venturing further there, you have to pass by Boulder City. And there's some neat little, there's an old-fashioned soda fountain at one of the drugstores there, and I can't remember which one it is, but that's worth a trip. And they have the little bottles of Coke if you want that. You can get sodas, phosphates, all that old-fashioned stuff. Okay. Shopping is another one of my favorite things to do there. There's so much shopping. There's the Fashion Show Mall that's actually on the strip, right beside Treasure Island and across from the Wynn.
It's also across the street from the Trump Tower.
Right. The Trump Tower is down there where the old Frontier used to be. But there's all sorts of shops in there. It's a huge mall. And they decorate beautifully for holidays. And there's, so many other, like Caesars, for instance, had one of the first inside casino-type malls. It's called the Forum Shops. There's just amazing shopping there. And so many casinos have built their own little bazaar shops or have indoor shopping facilities with all kinds of boutiques. I don't know that you can't find anything there. And also a lot of designer items.
You know, I'll be outside Bally's. I think they're called the Avenue Shops. I'll be out there checking those out. I've never been through the Avenue Shops.
Right. We didn't do that the last time we were there. As I said, when we go there, we have so many things to do, so many people to see, that we never get to do everything. We still haven't seen, even though we have family there, and we've been going there since, 1980. So we just haven't done everything yet.
We've been there so much that one of our children lives there with her family.
Well, yeah, one child.
And one got married there.
Right.
The other one got married there. So.
That's true. We've been there we've experienced all kind of things. And my young grandchildren went to my son's wedding. They were in the wedding, and they went out, and that was their first trip, their first time flying and their first trip to Las Vegas. And they swam in more pools than most people ever do. They swam. We were staying at, we stayed first at the Excalibur, so they swam there. My cousins were staying at the old Monte Carlo, which is now the Park MGM. They went there and swam because they had a lazy river and a wave pool. So they went up with them and spent a day. Then after staying at Excalibur for the wedding that was at Mandalay Bay, we stayed over there. Now, they have a lazy river, but they also have what they call the tide pool, where there's a tide the whole time, the surf pool, rather. There's surf the whole time as opposed to a wave pool, which is turned on and off. And they enjoyed that. And then we had a pool with a cabana, I know, the day after the wedding, which everybody enjoyed.
One of the pools at Mandalay Bay.
Yeah, one of them there.
But I think we have to tell our listeners, we're both swimmers, and you're a big-time swimmer.
Well, we enjoy doing that. Plus, when it's so hot, you like to spend some time there. Then we went over to the Frontier and stayed, and that pool was so wonderful and old-fashioned. It was deep. It was long. It had places where you could sit, and that casino let you swim all 24 hours a day.
Yeah, to our younger listeners, you're just really going to miss that because they just had this deepest pool. I mean, it was 13 feet deep on one end, and you could swim at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, and people did. It was just so much fun there. So, my grandkids were swimming in at least 5 casino pools for the time that they were out there and stayed at 3 different casinos. And let's see, we have also the Bellagio in itself is an event to see, you know, with the dancing waters outside. That's really a spectacular sight. You just stand outside along the walkway, and you can watch them. They play more often in the evening. They are synchronized with the music, and you just really ought to go and see that. And while you're there, you want to go inside because their lobby has one of the most beautiful ceilings. They're glass flowers that a sculptor, and I forget his name right now. It was an Italian name, but it was a they're beautiful. They're just breathtaking. And they also have a conservatory there, which they always have something special going on, something seasonal. Last hockey season, you know, the Knights did so well. They had a chocolate Marc-Andre Fleury in there. During the Kentucky Derby and the horse racing season, they have had a horse in there with all the flowers, you know, just a sculpted horse. But just it's worth seeing. Okay, then you want to spend some time at Fremont Street if you have never been there. You know, you want to go at least in the evening or at night to see the, what do they call that? The Fremont Street Experience.
The canopy.
The light show
the canopy,
with the canopy. Yeah, and they now have a zip line there that you can ride. You might want to see Container Park when you're down in that Fremont Street area. That's really nice. We went there and had lunch one day. They also have a memorial there for the people that were killed in the Mandalay Bay shooting.
I also want to suggest that you stop in at the Golden Nugget and take a look at that Shark Tank swimming pool. I don't think there's anything like that anywhere in the country.
Oh, yeah. You swim. You go in a little, you know, slide that's a tunnel in the Shark Tank, so you're swimming with the sharks, as they say.
Yeah.
And also the Golden Nugget has actual golden nuggets. Nuggets of pure gold on display to see. Oh, also, the Stratosphere is a place, I think, which is interesting because it's so tall, and it's those international thrill rides that are at the top of it that are so worthwhile. I myself would not ride any of them, but I love going up there. Every time I'm almost always up there.
I may ride the Big Shot this time. I think that's the tamest of all the rides. But I want to say this about the Stratosphere. We love staying there. I'm going to acknowledge, though, it's not a safe area. So, you know, that's not a place where you walk around at night.
Right.
But I'm not going to knock the Stratosphere itself.
No, we stayed there, and we had a beautiful, large suite. They have a laundry facility on every so many floors. They have pools on different levels of the roof. It was very entertaining. We really liked it. It's a neat place to visit.
You just have to have judgment about walking
where
around.
Where you're going, right. But it's worth seeing the rides. And as I said, they're international. It's an international attraction. people that love thrill rides go there, and we've met many people from different countries that were so excited about the rides and talked about them, and we always go there. I don't know. There's also a restaurant up on top that circles and goes around that's reasonably priced, good food, and, you know, I would advise going where you're going to end daylight and hit dusk and then the evening so that you can get the views from the day and night. But it doesn't matter if you're in the day or the night. You have great views.
I like the transition, though. Like, you know, you're in that hot light, you know, for the glare of the sun, and all of a sudden, and it starts,
right,
the twilight comes. That's beautiful if you have the time to stand
pretty
up there to watch that.
Of course, there's all the shows. Next to New York City and Broadway, there's no other place like it with shows. And if you haven't seen a Cirque du Soleil show, there's quite a few out there. We've seen Beetle Love. We've seen, and that's at the Mirage. We've seen Ka, and that's at MGM. Michael Jackson's at
Mandalay Bay,
which my daughter has seen. Then they have the O and the Mystere. I don't know how many more they have, but it's worth going and seeing all of them. Or at least one of them. And you can get tickets, you know, half price at those little booths that are everywhere. And check with your hotel. Sometimes when you check in, they have promotions going on where you can get buy one, get one free, or they might just offer them to you. Then also, for instance, the Mirage has the volcano outside. Now, I haven't seen that for a while. That's kind of neat. And then they also have an aquarium, a huge aquarium, the whole wall when you check in. But other casinos have specialties like that, too, little things like aquariums. You know, there's also the Secret Garden, Siegfried and Roy's Secret Garden. That's at the Mirage. So you need to look and see what is available at your hotel. I know at the Flamingo, they have a lot of flamingos, real living birds, and a special garden there that you can tour. So there's so many things that you can see that you can't see anywhere else. For instance, the Encore has a man-made lake, and it's just amazing to see. That's the Wind that has the lake.
That's the one with the frog that comes out of the water.
Right,
sings.
Right.
I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, yeah, but it's worth the trip.
Oh, yeah, it's neat, and it's just one of those things. It's just Vegas, you know, when you're there, that's what's going on. And I haven't even mentioned gaming or gambling, but you might want to try dabbling at some of the different casinos. We always say it's worth putting $20 in a progressive at those particular casinos.
I also want to tell people who are new to Vegas, if you have never been to a particular casino before, get a player's card, because there's often free play associated with first-time visits. There's even promotions once in a while where you get the first $200 back if you lose it, you know? It's incredible, some of the promos for first-time people.
Right, but you do have to ask. You do have to get the player's club card, and that costs you nothing, you know. You get that, and you put it in the machine every time you play, or you give it to table boss, whichever game you happen to be playing, and they keep records of it. And there are special promotions. I know when we would go to the Treasure Island, we'd get an envelope, and it would have free drinks, buffets, all sorts of things you could get. And then as Coach says, there's promotions where if you lose the first $200 you lose, you might get it back. And you might not get it back that day, and it might be impossible to get it all back because you might have to get half of it now and then half of it 30 days from now or so. But it's worth checking that out. And I would also say if you've never been there, you might want to pick up a book about it, you know, where it says, you know, It tells you where to go. It lists the hotels for you and what attractions they have. A lot of people like to go to the big hotels. Now, when I say big, I'm talking the Venetian at one time employed 10,000 people. And, you know, these hotels have 3,000 and 4,000 rooms, if you can imagine that. And they're open 24/7, obviously. So you just know how many people are employed there and how busy it is. Now, the ones that have attractions, like the Bellagio, like MGM, like the Mirage. But some people don't want that crowd. You know, they don't want to be at a hotel where they have all that going on. So there's plenty of other ones that you can go to.
Okay, let me close with this, Jenny. People can follow us on our 8-day stay in November on Facebook, Casinos USA, on Twitter, at Casinos USA 2017, and of course, all in our future podcasts. You know, we'll be talking about our daily activities in Las Vegas. And if you enjoy that and it helps you to enjoy it until you get there, that's all the better. So, hey, Jenny, thanks for stopping in today. Appreciate your contribution.
Anytime.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that's what Casinos USA is all about. And it's a place where every day is Saturday. Thanks for listening. See you in a couple weeks.